Or do I need to be away from the microphone?
No, you're fine. You're fine.
Okay.
Welcome. We're recording right now. This is Godfather speaking. I'm here with Mary. This is episode beta, version one. I'm here again. She's earning her dork. I'm here with Mary. Say hello.
Hello, Chris. How are you?
Very well. And Mary's part of Emmanuel House here in Martinsburg, West Virginia. What do you do here at Emmanuel House?
Oh, my goodness, Chris. Well, we do a lot of things. So our main thing is Emmanuel's House is an ecumenical church, and that's really important for us because to keep the spiritual faith aspect woven into the work that we do is really crucial. You know, we do come here longing to share God's love, and so Emmanuel's House is that medium of which we can do that. So we're a church, but we're kind of a church that's different, or maybe going back to what it originally was in the New Testament.
That community affair of coming in, relax,
yeah,
share,
caring for one another,
the community, and
yeah. Exactly. So, you know, what we realized in doing that is, like, living it out, it can't just be, like, a Sunday morning thing that you do. It's every day of your life. And so we live this out through Emmanuel's House by having a worship. So that's kind of a standard thing. We think that's important to do that. Get our soul nourished. But then we have a community meal. So then that's, like, physical nourishment that's really important. And then throughout the week we have hospitality time, coffee, snacks, fellowship, and that's like community nourishment. That's where you're reaching out to one another.
I know you and me coming to Emmanuel House since I think early mid 2011. How long has Emmanuel House been here? It's probably been
I want to say since 2010 or 11. I'm really bad with dates. But we started a while back, but we didn't actually have a building at that time. And so we were like in this, our church was actually homeless because we didn't have our own space. And so we were at the Knights of Columbus for a while. We were working out of our car, our home, just wherever we could meet people kind of thing. And then we got our building. Actually, we were able to move in last year of 2014.
I know you, other than play the guitar here at Daniel's House for the fellowship,
mm-hmm.
I know you do other things as part of the Mango. What are they?
So our other things, I help out with West Virginia ID Assistance, so helping out folks get their documentation together to get their West Virginia ID. And so that might mean like getting a birth certificate. So I do that a lot. But we also visit the jail. We do a women's Bible study at the jail and really trying to help women out of addiction issues or, you know, anger management kind of stuff. But
just for the listeners, the pastor that Mary is talking about is Karen.
Yes.
I know that's going to be kind of odd for a lot of our listeners, and it's kind of awkward for me. I won't say awkward, it's odd wrapping my head around that concept, because a lot of people who are religious are more attuned with the male pastor or the aspect of a father or a padre.
Right.
And have meeting Karen is very open, very, like yourself, very introvert, you know, so to speak.
That's
very
awesome.
You know, just open to the fact that it's like, wait a minute, and female
pastor. I love it that you bring that up, Chris, because so people will ask us, well, who is our pastor? Who's in charge? And so one of I know. Yeah, well she's gone for the week actually. But one of our things in creating Emmanuel's House is that we created kind of like this sisterhood. So we actually call it the circle. It's my friend Karen. She's a pastor. She's a Lutheran pastor. My friend.
That would have been one.
Right.
What denomination?
Right. We have Carmen Winiarski. She came out of the Vineyard Church. We have Doris Reamer, who comes out of the Catholic Church. And then myself, that comes from more of an interdenominational background. So we have all these different expressions of faith, and you know, as women working together.
Even though this is coming from a male standpoint, especially seeing a female pastor with a lot of the female women's issues that are out there, and domestic violence, sexual abuse, so forth, I guess it might be easier for some women to approach you or Carmen in regards to such topics than it would be a male priest or pastor.
I think so, Chris. I think it's also just good for, I think it's good for anyone. I mean, I try to be careful with the gender thing.
Right.
But I think it's good for women to know that they have a voice and that they have something to give. And a lot of women don't know that, and young girls don't know that. You know, it's like you have a mind, and that it's special. You know, it's not just about your body. But I think that's important for everyone to know. You know, I think it's important for women to know that. I think it's important for men. But to share the voice, that not one voice is over the other. You know, I hate dominance. I don't like it when any group is over one another. I think it's important that we see eye to eye and we look into each other's eyes and we start to listen to one another. You know, we every once in a while joke about, maybe we need to get a dude in our little circle here, you know, because there is that balance that's really helpful, too. And there's a male perspective that is essential, you know. It's not just a women's perspective, but it's a man's perspective. I mean, that's why we have loved that you are here with us on a Monday and that you bring your own faith journey and you weave that into what's going on here, but into the community. And so you have so much to offer that is essential.
For me, you know, this is where both of us, just to let the listeners know, because this is going to be put up as kind of a test when you get used to the servers and so forth, and something for the listeners to actually download. Me personally, I'm not speaking for Emmanuel's house, neither is kind of marrying away. I just want to get that disclaimer out there. As someone like myself who is Catholic and Roman Catholic, and of that aspect, I've seen a lot, I'm sure in a way you have too, where a lot of the denominations actually can't, and what they preach, hurt certain people. That's what turned me on. Not off the religion, but as the church.
Right.
Because I've seen it happen with, I don't want to go into it on recording, with at least my ex in reference to what went on with her, you know, just how people used religion to manipulate a lot of people, especially women, saying, hey, the Bible says, you know, this, therefore you have to stay with your husband.
Right.
Because, and
even if it's an abusive.
You have to do that. Or your husband or the person that you're with did this. Now, because the Bible says, or my church says this, I have to do this.
Yeah.
That's very, granted, I'm going to put this out there for the record. There are a lot of denominations, a lot of churches that do things like Emmanuel's that do things do things great. For every church, every religion, every denomination that does something wrong, there's always that needle in the haystack that does something right, pushes things the right way.
Right. Well, and I think it's really important that you shared that because, you know, the reality is, you know, we're all people and we're all broken people.
And for those listeners that are agnostic or consider themselves atheists, come down to a place that's open. Ask questions.
Right.
Ask questions. You know, that's why
exactly.
I have a lot of friends who are agnostic.
Right.
Atheists.
So do
I. You know, they know that I don't push.
Right. Well.
They're the ones like, what do you crazy people do this?
Yeah.
And I'm the one that has to go, all right, let me go check.
Yeah.
You know,
Well, and I think asking is the most important thing. I mean, I think that's one of the things I love about Emmanuel's House, and I hope it continues to be this way. It is a place of searching and questioning and asking and, you know, not necessarily just going with the norm, but, you know, discovering who God is or, you know, is there God? You know, that I think it's okay to wrestle with that, and I don't mind wrestling with that. I mean, I feel very grounded in my faith, and I do believe in God, and I love God, but I love being with people who don't believe God, and love having that discussion. I think it's really healthy. And
there was a show out on Fox who has an acid of cancer, not, but the show in essence was called Brimstone.
That's a pretty cool one.
When I go and explain the premise, you can see why it was canceled all the first time. The premise was 110 souls escaped from hell. And it, for one person, in essence, the devil sees is this one, it explains in the show, one of the episodes, that this guy was, his soul was neutral, in essence. A lot of everything he did that can be considered wrong, bad, can be also like, he planted drugs on the suspect. But by doing that, he saved lives as well. But it was just that one thing he did in regards to helping his wife, who was raped. And when he died, because he was done out of vengeance, he was sent to hell.
Wow.
And it was the only person the devil could trust in order to capture these souls. And he's talking to a priest, because he was this, again, Catholic.
Right.
He's talking to this blind priest of what he's doing. He says, tells me, doesn't this whole aspect of the devil being here on earth worry you? He said, no, the priest says, it strengthens my faith. Because knowing that there's an actual devil, therefore there's an actual God.
Mm-hmm.
And knowing that fact, it strengthens
my faith. Right, right. Isn't that interesting?
It's that one line. The work humor to the show.
Yeah.
And
it's very... And those are the kind of healthy discussions. I mean, I'll be honest, Chris. I'm what they call, currently right now in my faith journey, a no-heller. I really believe in a God of grace. I believe in a God that would penetrate any darkness and grab a hold of whomever is in that darkness. And so that there's this place of eternal damnation, I don't believe in that, because I believe in a graceful God, a God of grace and a God of love. But it's great having discussion with people who are on the other end of that, who almost need a hell, rely on that. And so, you know, what is right or wrong? I'm not quite sure, and I'm not going to claim to know. But I think what's healthy is that we as a community have that discussion without hurting one another, you know?
That's what we're trying to do here, is have that discussion, like what we're having here. I myself learned many years ago how to take that step back.
Yeah.
And instead of looking at aspect of what it's like, oh, you got to do this with my faith.
Right.
Like, what, can't you step back?
Yeah.
I learned this from going to humanities class in community college.
Right.
That's one thing. I had that one good teacher saying, you have to, you know, we're going to be talking about religion a
little
bit.
Right.
You have to step back.
You have to.
You
right.
You realize that even though that some people were invited by whomever, you know, ten different people.
Whatever. Exactly.
In essence, it was, as a Christian, it was initially translated by Catholic priests. You know, it was Latin. The only way for the support of the denomination.
Right.
It was, you went to a cathedral or a monastery, and also the priest actually told you, oh yeah, this is what happened, this is what, you know, this. And it wasn't until King James, where we get the modern translation of the Bible.
Yeah.
Where, in essence, which is a funny story, is like he wanted a divorce from his wife, and the Pope at that time said, "Nope, you ain't getting. You know, this is your second divorce you had. You ain't doing it." And he was saying, "You know what? I'm going to start up my own church with poker."
Yeah, well, and that's the thing. I think we have to always remember humans play a part in shaping religion, shaping faith, and so to ask those questions, and where do we come from? You know, I love discovering faiths from different cultures. And what is the main thread through everything? You know, is there that element of incredible love and grace and a longing for wholeness? And that's what we seek here at Emmanuel's House.
And kind of mixing the previous topic with what we're talking about now, one thing that Karen said a couple of months ago is that she had a Bible, copy of the Bible. This book was written 2,000 years ago.
Right, right.
Because at the topic, they were talking about women.
Yeah.
And she was talking about women in the Bible and how it was the woman in the well type
of deal. Right, right, right.
And she's like, this book was written 2,000 years ago. That women were treated way differently than it is now. And again, it's like people pointing, thumping the Bible, saying, hey, you women.
Right. Or it shapes how women are treated now even too. You know, like you said before that... We pick and choose from the different scriptures, and we say, this is how you got to be, because, in a sense, it's a power trip. And so that's some of the things we have to learn, too, through the scriptures, is are we stepping away from the words of God, where it is about, an equalness, you know, that we live in harmony with one another. I do think God is calling us to harmony. So how do we do that? It's not done by oppressing another person, whether they're female or male or black or white. You know, it's that we live equally, that we give generously, that we make sure people are clothed and fed and treated well. And not just people, but I think the rest of creation, Chris.
Pastor I used to go to down in Inwood, he said, again, Catholic priest, he said, I want to tell you something that's probably piss off a good 85-90%. He said, the thing is, regardless of who goes to heaven, a person who does good, whether they're Wiccan, atheist, agnostic, Jewish, Buddhist, they're all, if they do good, they're going to have a chance to go to heaven as well, you know, as well as you, because of God, you know, in essence says, you know, what we follow as teaching is you do good, he's going to, good chance you're going to take that into consideration.
Yeah.
Why would he send someone who is a Buddhist, lives in wealth, peace, and charity, send him or her?
Right, right, agreed.
That, you know,
agreed. And I think that's the reality, Chris. I mean, we don't know. We don't know. I cannot imagine. It goes back to my no-heller. I just really can't imagine. I think God gives us a chance over and over and over again. And maybe it will take longer for some than for others. But I think that journey aspect is important. And so I agree with you. I don't think, you know, a Buddhist who has given their life to others is going to hell. I just don't believe that. I think God is way bigger than we can imagine. God is beyond our denominations.
There's one thing that says,
right.
Another person once told me, like, I heard a lot of like, oh, Jesus never smiles. Why would he smile?
Right.
How do we know that?
Exactly.
You know, like, how do we know that he doesn't, you know,
right,
there's that chance? How do you know he doesn't come down every now and again to just, you know, see us every now and again just smile?
Right.
There's a whole aspect of, you probably never seen it, but the movie Bill and Ted.
No, I haven't.
It's just the whole premise is that It's kind of this time travel.
Oh, actually, no, yes. Right.
And it's just their whole premise, when they go into the future, is the aspect of they're this whole binding of everybody through music.
Yeah.
And the whole aspect is, you know, be cool with
everyone.
And, you know, just party on.
That's a great thing to say.
It's like, how do you know Jesus came back and saw just Bill and Ted?
Yeah.
Saying, you know, these two idiots, you know, just be cool with one.
Yeah.
You know, sit down. Listen to Van Halen.
Chris, you make me want to watch that movie again. I think that's like a great foundation.
You know what I'm saying? You know what? They're not what I'm teaching, but they have...
There's some core values that are important.
Mm-hmm. It's like what I'm trying... They're not Catholic. They're not Jewish.
Right.
But it's the whole aspect of that core value of don't be...
Yeah.
You know, don't be cruel to everybody.
Right.
Just be bogus. Find something that you can latch on with
right.
you know, each other, whether it's, in this case, it's music.
Exactly. And I think that's what, as humans, we have this tendency to, we need to label things. We need to have a title for something, or it needs to look this way. And I think there are these values that weave through everything. And, you know, I've known some people who are, you know, who really don't believe in God at all, but they believe in, you know, caring for creation and being good stewards of this earth and caring for the rest of humanity. And so they are expressing that love. I mean, I would say they're expressing God, the essence of God. But it's a name. It's a title. What do we know it is? I don't know. I mean, we don't. I mean, we can claim all these things, but living in these core values of unity and wholeness and caring for one another, I think that is a common thread we tend to see through a lot of people. I think it's important that we have a place that can nourish that and can seek that. And wherever you're at in your own soul journey, you know, and to use examples like Bill and Ted, I think that's fantastic. I mean, I love watching movies for that reason. Is what is the core value here? It might not be a religious movie, but is there this value of forgiveness, this core value of joy, that of unity that is constant, you know, throughout it. So
there's always that connection. Yeah, even though there's religion, always causes fights, as well as race, sexual aspects. You know, just it's like, how can you eat something when they have a different food set, you know, or music set?
Right.
It's like there's something. Well, I think, you know, DMX is better than, you know,
right. Right.
Sit down and talk to somebody.
Right.
You know, find out.
Right. Exactly.
There has to be some sort of common denominator between, you know, somebody, you know, like, how could you eat, you know, Jesus over there? You know, have you tried his food?
I know.
He makes a cool burrito.
Well, and a lot of it, you know, I think a lot of those things is based so much on fear and distrust and a lack of wanting to get to know. It's like when you get to know someone, you see a whole different aspect of them that's just beautiful, that if you had just based it on stereotypes or what they were wearing or how they would look, you're missing out on such a beautiful human being. And, you know, in our it's fear and maybe what people have told us.
Stupidity.
And very much ignorance. Ignorance.
Like,
yeah.
Do you believe in the same God I do? Oh,
right.
No, you don't. You know, my God has shorter hair than you.
Right.
You know, wait, what?
Exactly. Chris, this has been awesome.
Okay, it's been great. To the listeners out there, I'll be posting our media out, social media, and our email in the show notes. If you have any hate mail, please blame me. Don't blame Larry.
Don't send hate mail.
Like us and hate us on Twitter. Either way, it's good promotion for us. I thank you guys for listening. I thank Mary for at least participating in my homework. And
Chris, thank you.
You, the listeners, for helping me test the servers and so forth and so on.
You're a joy, man. This has been an honor. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Again, thank you.